This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وقائدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد. After the praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I testify that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah azza wa jal, and I testify that Muhammad is the beloved Prophet and the Messenger of Allah Almighty. Alhamdulillah, we are in a series of the stories of those great men who stood and fought and strived with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those men who sold their lives for Allah. And that are those men who Allah describes in the Quran al-Kareem, that Allah had bought their souls in exchange of the paradise. Those men who are the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and which we call Sahabat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was last Monday that we finished and ended the 10 companions who were guaranteed paradise. And I did mention that those 10 companions who were guaranteed paradise are not the only companions who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had guaranteed paradise, but they were called the 10 companions who are guaranteed paradise because their name was were mentioned at once. Their names were mentioned at once. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr in the paradise, Umar is in the paradise, Uthman is in the paradise, Ali is in the paradise, Sa'd is in the paradise, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is in the paradise, Abdul Rahman bin Auf is in the paradise, Az-Zubayr ibn Awam is in the paradise, Wa Talha ibn Ubaydillah is in the paradise. 10 companions, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned them at once and said they are all in the paradise. But once again, they are not the only 10, but there are other companions as great as those companions were also being guaranteed paradise. And one of those companions that we'll be speaking about tonight is another great companion. A companion who also was guaranteed paradise by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam heard his footsteps in the paradise. A companion that made changes in history. A companion that made changes in history where was a time and era the slave had no rights of humanity at all. Any slave was considered to be out of the human circle. But because of Islam, it gave the full rights to every human being, whether they're white or black, whether they're an Arab or non-Arab, whether they're poor or rich, whether they're weak or strong. This companion is a companion who was most beloved to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah gets angry for the anger of this companion. This companion is the ex-slave and the first slave to enter Islam is Bilal ibn Rabah. Bilal ibn Rabah, a very famous common name that the Muslims throughout the history used that name to call the children. As a respect to that man, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Bilal, also known to be Bilal Habashi, he comes from Abyssinia. Abyssinia, a country south of Egypt and Sudan. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended the companions to migrate to Habasha, to Abyssinia twice, because there is a just leader that no one will be oppressed in his presence. It was the Najashi. And a lot of the Abyssinians back then were slaves. And slavery was a very, very common thing at the time and before the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of those slaves that was in Mecca and was sold to one of the people of Mecca was Bilal. His mom, her name is Hamama. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of the first people to enter Islam. In the first years of the prophecy, the first time when the Prophet alayhi salatu was salam became a prophet and called people to Islam, it was those companions that were mentioned their names earlier became Muslims, and it was Bilal, one of those first companions to become a Muslim. And there's a narration about how Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu became a Muslim. It was Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu looking after the flock of his master. He had a cattle, his sheep that he was looking after. And one day, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr were in a cave. And Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as a slave doing his job and obeying his master, taking care of the flock, taking care of the sheep. And he went past the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam and Abu Bakr in the cave. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Bilal and he told him, "Would you mind give us some of your milk from those goat, from the sheep or the goat that you've got?" He said, "I have a portion that I'm allowed to take. If you want, you could take it." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Bring it." So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam milked it, and then he drank, and then he milked it again, and he gave Abu Bakr to drink, and he milked it the third time and gave Bilal to drink. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam told him, "Do you know anything about Islam?" So Bilal said, "And what's Islam?" So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "I am the messenger of Allah, and Islam is such, 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 such." And it was only for Bilal to say, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." He felt it, he knew it, that this is the right religion, the just religion, not the religion of his masters worshipping idols that can benefit or harm, not the religion of people that only call of oppression and injustice, not the religion of people that differentiate between who's poor and rich and who's strong and weak and who is a slave and who's a free man. And then the news spread out that Bilal became a Muslim that came to his master, and Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu faced and saw and experienced a punishment that to this day, if people want to mention a true persecution that took place at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they mention the persecution and torment of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was tortured, the punishment, and persecuted, the punishment that the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum speak highly of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu will be taken in the middle of the day, midday, where the sun, in the peak hot time of the sun, moment of the sun, and he will put on the sand. And then they'll bring a great massive rock, so hot, and be thrown over the body of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. All that is because he says, "La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah." All this punishment is because he left the worship of the non-believers. All that is because he followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the reply of his master say, Oh Bilal, mention your Lord and mention Muhammad in a bad way. And mention the Lat and Uzza, and that's the names of the idols they had back then. Mention the Lat and Uzza in a good way. And Bilal will say, "Ahadun Ahad. Ahadun Ahad, one and only one. One and only one. One and only one. And that one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Oh Bilal, leave the worship of Muhammad. Ahadun Ahad. Oh Bilal, leave the religion of Muhammad. Ahadun Ahad. Oh Bilal, come back to the religion, to the Lat and Uzza. Ahadun Ahad. And everyone is amazed. Everyone is amazed from that strength, from that power that Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu had to stay firm and stand strong for the sake of Ahad, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then later on they asked him, "O Bilal, O Bilal, what made you stay firm and strong and handle that punishment?" He said, "The beauty of the iman mixed with the hardships of the punishment, and the beauty of the iman overpowered and overweight the punishment and the pain of the punishment." These are the true believers. Yas'am Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "Every one of us that was tortured and persecuted said what the non-believers said, including Ammar himself, who was taken, him and his mother and his father, and he was tortured and punished, and they told him to swear Muhammad, so he did. And other companions did so, except Bilal. He refused to give what the non-believers wanted. He refused to disobey Allah and His Prophet. He refused to say anything that makes him out of Islam. Although Allah Azza wa Jal allows in situations like this, when you are forced to, and you are under hardships and punishment, and you are threatened to be killed, to say what's not in your heart. And Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the verse about Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala an. And inshaAllah one day we'll speak in details about Ammar bin Yasir. And not only this, but Umayyah bin Khalaf, his master, would tie a rope around the neck of Bilal and get the kids of Mecca to grab Bilal and walk around with him like he's a pet, to be disgraced in front of the people of Mecca. How low is it for a rope to be tied around his neck and little kids grab him and walk around with him? All that for the sake of Ahad. My brothers, the whole idea of this lesson is not just to listen to it and go home and say it was a nice lesson. But the whole soul idea of this lesson is for us to understand and for us to waken up ourselves and to realize our commitments towards our religion and their commitments towards the religion. Look what they do for Allah. And look at the sacrifice they do for Allah. But these days, I am afraid to say even I'm a Muslim to people. Although I'm not going to get punished or persecuted or even jumped or hit or bashed. But I get scared. I'm shy to walk with a sunnah. Or I fear I'm shy to put a hijab on. Why? Because people will look at them different. So if people look at you different, made you turn away from Allah, then what would you do if you got in the situation, the position of Bilal and the rest of the companions? Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu will stay firm. Will stay firm and strong. Will stay firm and strong and not to let go of 1% of his religion. Until it was mentioned in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr, that Bilal is going through hardships. The companions start to mention that in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bilal is going through hardships. If one of us could at least buy him out, because he's slaves. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu straight away went to Umayyah bin Khalaf and offered him money. And he said, "How much do you want for him?" He said, "I want 5 coins of gold. I want 5 coins of gold." And 5 coins of gold's got its value back then. So Abu Bakr said, "I'll give you 5 coins of gold." So Umayyah says, "Oh, what do you want to do with him? He's no benefit. I wouldn't even sell him for a coin." So Abu Bakr said, "By Allah, if you ask for 100,000 gold coin, I'll give it to you for him." He says, "I'm not going to sell him even if it was for 1 gold coin. And Abu Bakr replied back, said, "By Allah, if it was 100,000 gold coins, I'd buy it off you." Because he knows the value of that man in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Abu Bakr bought Bilal. And after he bought Bilal, he freed Bilal. And Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu becomes a free man. So the talk start to go around, as it is the case with the enemies of Islam and the ones with disease, in their hearts, that Abu Bakr bought Bilal for the sake of a benefit that he wanted Bilal. There's something between him and Bilal, and he bought him for that sake. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proved them wrong. And Allah azza wa jal mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, وَسَيْجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. Allah is going to make the ones who fear him to be free or to be away from the hellfire. الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ يتزكى وما لأحد عنده من نعمة يزجى إلا ابتغاء وجه ربه الأعلى ولسوف يرضى. Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed these full verses about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the one that fears Allah is going to be saved from the hellfire, and he does not give his money. He does not give his money only for the sake of pleasing Allah, not for the sake of any benefit from this world. Allah proved them wrong. For the sake of pleasing Allah, not for the sake of any benefit of this world. And that's Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And it wasn't that only Abu Bakr stood there, but Abu Bakr spent his wealth into freeing so many companions from the punishment of the non-believers. And radiallahu ta'ala an Bilal stood by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was described to be dark, black, Ethiopian, very skinny and tall. Very skinny and tall, especially after the punishment he suffered and faced a lot. Until it was the battle of Badr, where Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu participated with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in all the battles, and participated with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in all the wars that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam went in. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu will see Umayyah from far and will scream out and say, "He is Umayyah, the enemy of Allah, but Allah, it's either me or him today." So Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu will chase behind Umayyah until Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu kills Umayyah radiallahu ta'ala an Bilal. Bilal has a lot of a hadith been mentioned about his virtues, about his good attributes and qualities radiallahu ta'ala an Bilal. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw in the dreams that he was in the paradise. And then, while the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is seeing himself in the paradise, he hears a footsteps in the paradise. So he asks Jibreel, "Oh Jibreel, who's those footsteps for? And who's that person that's walking?" So Jibreel says, "That's Bilal." Subhanallah. Could you imagine the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam saying, "That's you"? So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he wakes up from his dream, he'll go up to Bilal and say, Oh Bilal, tell me, what are the best deeds that you do in Islam? I heard your footsteps in the paradise. And that's not something small. You gotta be doing something that's so great and so noble that Allah Azza wa Jal made me hear your footsteps in the paradise before me. So he said, "The Prophet of Allah, I can't think of anything except that every time I perform wudu, I pray 2 rak'ah after the wudu. And every time I lose my wudu, I perform wudu again. All the time having wudu." So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, because of this, every time he makes wudu, he prays 2 rak'ah after the wudu, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's called sunnatul wudu. The sunnah of wudu. And that's a sunnah that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had confirmed. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, before the opening of Mecca, the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum got together in Medina and they used to pray. And every time was time for the prayer, not many of them knew what time is the prayer had entered and who's going to pray and what time. So they got together one day and they were discussing how they could inform others about the prayer. Any way of informing others about the prayer. So one of them said, "Why don't we get a horn and blow into that horn how the Jews do?" Another one said, "Why don't we get a bell and hit the bell so makes a loud noise so everyone could hear and inform the others about the prayer and the timing of the prayer?" So everyone started to discuss how could we do that. So one of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu came running to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, "O Prophet of Allah, I saw in my dreams a man approaches me, and I discuss with him how can we call the prayer. So I said to him, why don't we get a horn and blow into it?" He said, "No." And then I told him, "Why don't we get a bell and hit the bell and make everyone else hear it?" He said, "No." He said, "Then what do we do?" So that man told me, "My dream, say, get someone to call For I call and say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And the rest of the adhan. While this companion is speaking to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who comes running? Umar ibn Khattab. And he says, O Prophet of Allah, I saw in the dreams that I saw this man and I asked him, when I call for the prayer, and then I told him, should we use a horn? So he said, no. And then we said, should we use a bell? And he said, no. And then he told me, get someone to call for the prayer by saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this companion just beat into it. This companion just beat it to it. And then Umar ibn Khattab asked the Prophet, Prophet Allah, can I be the person that calls for the prayer? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, but get Bilal, فَإِنَّهُ أَنْدَى سَلْطَانَ. Get Bilal, he's got more of a natural and smoothing voice. Maybe if Abu Bakr, because of his loud voice, make people run. But Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu has the natural voice. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will call Bilal to come and call for the prayer and teaches him the call of the prayer. And from then it was Bilal, the first Muslim ever to call for the prayer. Bilal ibn Rabah was the first Muslim ever to call for the prayer. And then it was in the opening of Mecca when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the companions, Allah azza wa jalla given him the victory of opening Mecca. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam walked into Mecca, humbling himself, thanking Allah for that great victory. And it was the time for the prayer. So sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered Bilal to go up on the roof of the Kaaba and to call for the prayer. Subhanallah. From being a black Ethiopian or black Abyssinian, a slave, black Abyssinian with no respect, few years later, it was Bilal to stand on the roof of the Kaaba and make adhan. Islam came and demolished that concept of slavery and taken that humanity away from some people. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood on the roof of the Kaaba and made adhan. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu could not do adhan anymore. After the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, every time Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu will get up and call for the prayer, and he'll say Allahu Akbar, and then reach Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And once he arrives to Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, he can't call for the prayer anymore. He just keeps on crying and crying and crying. That he made a promise that he does not make adhan after that day. That's how much love he had to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Every time he came to Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, he'll be choked from his tears from crying. And then when it was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu as the Khalifa of the Muslims, Bilal came to Abu Bakr and said, Abu Bakr, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told me that the best of deeds in Islam is the jihad in the path of Allah, is to strive and struggle in the path of Allah. Oh Abu Bakr, I want to go with the group of the companions that are going towards Sham and fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Bakr told him, Oh Bilal, I'm getting old and I need you to be with me. So Bilal said, Oh Abu Bakr, if you freed me for the sake of any benefit, then I'll take what you just told me. But if you freed me for the sake of Allah, I want to strive in the path of Allah. So Abu Bakr said, but Allah, I freed you for the sake of Allah. So Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu followed the Muslim army up to Sham and fought and struggled in the path of Allah until they opened Syria. And then it was the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Umar ibn Khattab went to Syria and all the Muslim armies from around Syria gathered in Damascus in a place called Bab al-Jabiya. All the Muslim armies gathered in Damascus in Najabiya. And it was a great gathering that the Muslims haven't seen each other for a very long time. And they met each other after a long time and after a great opening where they have nearly half of the world. And they've demolished the two great empires, the Roman and the Persian. And here the companions are gathered around the leader Umar ibn Khattab. And they were so happy meeting each other and it was a happy moment. So the companion said to Umar, Oh Umar, This is a very happy moment. It's a beautiful moment. Wouldn't you ask Bilal to make adhan? Ask Bilal to make adhan and call the prayer so could he. That beautiful voice that we used to hear at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Umar ibn Khattab asked Bilal and Bilal refused. And he asked him and refused. So in force he said, "Oh Bilal, make adhan. Let us hear that beautiful voice that reminds us of the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam." So Bilal got up and made adhan. And after he reached the Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, he started to cry. And the rest of the companions started to cry. All of them remembering the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam and that beautiful time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. That once Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw in his dreams when he was in Syria, the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam saying to him, "Oh Bilal, what's this long gap? What's this long gap?" So Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu felt that he wants to go and visit the Medina. Visit the Medina and see the companions. So he went to Medina after a long time. And then he saw the Hassan al-Hussein. And they hugged him. And then they told him, "Please make adhan for us. Please make adhan for us during the night at the time of the prayer." So Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu made adhan. When he said Allahu Akbar the first time, all the houses opened the doors. And when he reads Ashhadu an la ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah, all the men and women were outside the doors listening to the adhan. When he reached Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, everyone was crying in Medina. Every male and female, old and young, including Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhum, are crying for the reminder of the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhum went back to Syria and stayed in Syria until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the time to pass out, and radiallahu ta'ala anhu died in Damascus, and he was buried in Damascus. And the place he was buried in is the mosque that I was studying at. It was called Masjid Bilal. His grave is there and is well known to be the mosque of Bilal, where his grave is there. And that's where Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away. Umar ibn Khattab used to say, Bilal, he used to say, "Abu Bakr Sayyiduna, Abu Bakr is our master, wa a'taqa Sayyidana," and he freed our master. Abu Bakr Sayyiduna, and he freed our master. He's our master, and he freed our master, referring to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Umar ibn Khattab was one of those men that used to punish Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the Jahiliyyah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced him with Islam. And once Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu got angry from Bilal and he told him, "Oh, the son of the black woman." So Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu got angry and went and told the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. So when Abu Dharr came, sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, "Oh Abu Dharr, you still have some of the jahiliyyah, the ignorant days in you." So Abu Dharr got so upset for the remark that he made and went and put his head on the ground and told Bilal, "Oh Bilal, step on my head. Step on my head so I could teach myself a lesson for that racism comment that I made." So Bilal radiallahu ta'ala said, "May Allah forgive you. May Allah forgive you, I forgive you. And I forgot about it." Subhanallah, look how Islam comes. Islam is a religion that demolished these bad thoughts and ignorant opinions and ignorant way of life. Islam established humanity and brought humanity and justice back to mankind. Not wallahi what people are trying to make Islam to be out, or to be out as a religion of oppression and injustice, making Islam to be a religion that harms and only harms people. Look at this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made from the worst people to be the best people on earth. He made a place with no civilization to be the peak and the teach of all civilization. That's where Islam comes. Another companions that we have and speak about tonight, inshaAllah, his companion also used to be a slave. And inshaAllah, his story is short. His name is Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to call him Hibbu Rasulillah, the one beloved to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a slave. He was a young child when a tribe invaded his tribe, and took him as a slave. And then he was sold to a man from Mecca, and then he was sold to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Khadija, he or she gave him Zayd as a present. And after she gave him Zayd as a present, sallallahu alayhi wasallam freed Zayd. And Zayd lived under the guardianship of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. And he loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam so much. He loved him so much to the stage that Zayd's father later on found out where his son is. He's in Mecca. So he came looking for his son. And they told him he's under the guardianship of Muhammad. So Zayd's father came to Muhammad, Haritha. He came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that's before the prophecy. Asking the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam to give Zayd back to him. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I'll be just, I'll call Zayd and give him the choice. If he wants to go with you, I'm not going to stop him. And if he wants to stay, I can't stop someone that made the choice to stay. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam called Zayd. And Zayd came in the presence of his father. And the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam gave him the full choice and option. Oh Zayd, you want to go with your father? You are free to go with him. You want to stay with me? You are free to stay with me. So Zayd said, I cannot replace anyone with your generosity, Muhammad. And he stayed with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, with his generosity and his kindship and his good manners and akhlaq, even attracted the son to stay with him more than the father. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam walked out to Mecca, to the Kaaba, and called upon people and said, from now on, Zayd is my son. He inherits me, so I inherit him. He is from me and I am from him. And Zayd's father was happy from that statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhum stayed with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam until the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam became a prophet. And Zayd bin Haritha was the second human being after Khadija to become a Muslim. Zayd was the second human being after Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha to become a Muslim. And he was named at that time Zayd bin Muhammad until Allah Azza wa Jal forbade the fostering and calling a child that you've got under your guardianship, under your name. Idu'uhum li'aba'ihim, call them to the name of their fathers. He's not your son. So from that day, he changed his name and became Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was the second human being to become a Muslim. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam loved Zayd so much, and he guaranteed Zayd the paradise. Alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, I saw myself in the paradise, and I saw a beautiful woman. So I asked, who's this woman for? So they said, it's for Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala an. It's for Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala an. And Zayd bin Haritha, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam got his cousin, Zaynab, to marry Zayd. And the marriage didn't go too good, so they break off. And then Allah ordered the Prophet ﷺ to marry the ex-wife of Zayd. So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ married the ex-wife of Zayd, that's his cousin. So people start to speak. Because they still have that mentality that if someone adopts someone and says that's his son, he becomes like his son. He can't marry his daughter, he can't marry his wife, and they become like mahram to you and so on. But Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted to teach people that this concept is not right. And Muhammad is going to marry the ex-wife of Zayd, because Zayd is not the son of Muhammad. So the rulings of a son over the father and the father of a son does not apply. And Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed in the Quran Kareem, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ خَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. That Muhammad was never the father of any of your men, but he is the messenger of Allah, and Allah had sealed the prophets with him. Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that every time the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was sent out a troop, will all the time make Zayd, and Zayd is often from among them, will make Zayd the leader and the general of that troop. He'll make Zayd the leader and the general of the troop. That's how much love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for Zayd. That people will call Zayd all the time the lover of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. And in battle of Mu'ta, in Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam sent a troop of 3,000 companions to fight They were expecting a small number that ended up to be over 150,000 Romans. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, I put an assign over you as your leader as Zayd bin Haritha. And if Zayd dies, then I assign Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. And if Ja'far dies, then I assign Abdullah ibn Rawaha. And if Abdullah ibn Rawaha dies, then the Muslims will choose one from among them. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent the companions. And yes, they fought against a great massive number of an enemy. And was Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be first to be killed. And then after Zayd was Ja'far. And then after Ja'far was Abdullah ibn Rawaha. And then the Muslims decided to give the flag to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He passed away, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was in Medina, and he heard from the revelation what took place, and sallallahu alayhi wasallam cried, and he said that the flag was in the hands of Zayd, and Zayd fell, and then it was in the hands of Ja'far, and Ja'far fell, and then it was in the hands of Abdullah ibn Rawaha, and Abdullah ibn Rawaha fell, and then Allah chose a drawn sword from his sword, Khalid bin Walid. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam kept on crying and crying. That Sa'd ibn Ubadah said, O Prophet Allah, what's this crying? All this crying over what? He said, children, the lover cry for the one that he loves. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam loved Zayd ibn Haritha, and he loved the son of Zayd, Usama bin Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Usama bin Zayd, he was that companion the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made him a general of an army at the age of 18 over the rest of the great companions, including Umar and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Then the companions start to speak. The Prophet sallallahu is putting a young leader over all of us and putting Usama bin Zayd over Abu Bakr and Umar. What's this? And the talk started to go around. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if he's doubted his leadership, you've doubted the leadership of his father. But Allah, he is the best, as his father was the best for this leadership. That's Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And inshaAllah next week, inshaAllah, we'll continue with another great companion from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina yastami'una al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsana. Inshallah, From this Thursday onwards, for the next 8 weeks, I'll be going through the tahara, the purification, wudu and ghusl, and the salah in intents. So inshallah, for yourself and for rest of the brothers and sisters whoever would like to attend Thursday night, inshallah, for the next 8 weeks, I'll be talking in full intents and depth about wudu and salah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ihdina wa ihdibina wa ja'alna sababan liman ihtada. Ihdi ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aslah ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ighfir lil muslimin wal muslimat wal mu'minin wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Innaka ya Rabbana qareebun mujibun lid da'awat. Unsur al islam wal muslimin, dammir kafarata wal mulhidin. Allahumma man arada bil islam muslimin khayran fawaffiqhu كل خير ومن أراد بهم غير ذلك فخذ أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى, نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان عليك البلاغ, ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you all for listening, and inshallah for another gathering, inshallah, this Thursday.